Welcome back to A View from the Couch. My name is Rich.
And I'm Jen.
And Jen, are you ready to bring it home?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Prey. It's interesting that we chose Predator for the 35th anniversary episode a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now here we are with the film that was released just about 35 years to the day from when Predator was released. That's pretty damn cool.
I was thinking that when we watched this the first time. I was Prey when we were watching this.
Yeah.
I thought, didn't we just do Predator? I feel like we just watched that.
We did just do Predator. We did just watch that. Yeah. So I think we can dispense with the whole have you seen Predator movies before, because we just discussed that.
We did. We did recently. Yes.
Guys, if you want to know if we've seen a Predator movie before, go listen to the Predator episode. And then come back here and listen to the Prey episode. Predator, Prey. They slash them. Predator slash Prey.
Yeah.
Or something.
Something like that.
I don't know. So, do you want to just jump in? Tell me who's involved with this movie, and how did this come about? Do you know anything about how it came about?
A little bit.
Okay.
So this was directed by Dan Trachtenberg. Mm-hmm. He did 10 Cloverfield Lane, is that right?
Yes, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I didn't really like the first time I saw it, but I've seen it a couple of times since then, and I've come to appreciate it as a standalone film. Outside of the Cloverfield universe, I guess, of films. Yeah.
Okay. It was written by Dan Trachtenberg and Patrick Aison. Mm-hmm. It stars Amber Midthunder as Naru, Dakota Beavers as Tabe, and Dane DeLegro as the Predator.
The Predator? I thought this movie was called Prey. Tell me more.
So the little bit that I do know about this and the research I was doing, sounds like this was kind of 6 years in the making. Mm. They were trying to keep it hush-hush, but it leaked.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it was originally, the code name for it was Skulls. So they were trying to get this going without people finding out that they were doing another Predator movie.
So was this was prior to Disney acquiring 20th Century Studios they were working on this?
Possibly.
Interesting.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. But it took a little bit to get going and get it all done. And the actors, I watched a couple interviews with Amber Midthunder and Dakota Beavers. Neither one of them, well, Amber for sure didn't know she was auditioning for a Predator movie. She thought it was a movie about a Comanche woman who was becoming a hunter.
Okay.
And then...
Well, it is, but...
Yep. And then Dakota Beavers, I didn't quite catch if he thought it was a Predator movie or if he knew that, but he was under the impression that he was interviewing or auditioning for a minor role. And obviously came in and got one of the main roles.
Yeah.
But this is his first actual film
for
Dakota Beavers. So
what about Amber Midthunder? Has she been in other things as well? Or what?
I think so. I think what I read was this is her first main, like she's the feature character.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, she was in Hell or High Water.
She was? Who was she in Hell or High Water?
Vernon Teller?
I don't remember who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
Oh, she was the teller in, when they went to the bank in Vernon. She's the girl
so
that
the
he
name
was
isn't
with.
Vernon Teller. She
right.
was the teller
no,
from
no.
Vernon.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So she didn't even have a name in that movie. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, should we dive in and let's talk about this movie? Okay.
Yes.
So it starts quite similarly to the original Predator movie with the Predator ship showing up. Interesting. But it mainly takes place in the 1700s in the Great Plains, where Naru, the aforementioned Comanche woman, she's trained as a healer, and she wants to become a hunter like her brother Tabe. So we get to see her out training with her hatchet, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The interesting thing the thing that I really liked about this movie is that everything that they plant early on comes back later. It is a really efficient script. So this is one of those things that they're going to plant for later, is her skill with this hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's out there practicing with it, and she notices deer tracks. She goes to, like, go hunt the deer with her dog, whose name is Sadi.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard it as Sunny, which is our dog's name, one of our dogs.
Yeah.
His name is Sunny.
So, it did sound like Sunny sometimes.
Right, yeah. But because they have a kind of a rolling of the R a
yep.
little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
But so she goes and she hunts this deer, but the deer is scared off by a predator ship in the clouds, dropping off our main villain, the predator. The, I guess it was called the feral predator. Like, this is the pre... This is obviously 300 years before Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator,
mm-hmm.
approximately. Well, more like 260-ish. 265? I don't know. 35 years, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't do math, guys. I just talk. All I do is talk. I don't do math. Anyway, it's 300-ish years in the future, so it has like lesser tech than the predator that we're familiar with.
Yeah, I was waiting to see what kind of technology this thing would have, but it still had some pretty impressive technology.
It did. It's far advanced to anything that was in 1700s of North America, but still pretty new. I mean, it's wearing a bone helmet,
mm-hmm.
which I think... I read something that was actually skull of one of the, a different type of predator.
It's in a different predator movie.
It's in a different predator movie. Yeah. Yep. There's a couple of other things that are seated in mm-hmm. this that are in the other predator movie.
That's the one thing that overall is going to end up being kind of cool with this movie is there's bits and pieces that call to other predator movies. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't pick up on all of them because I have not seen these other movies. I've seen Predator, and apparently I've seen one other, but I don't remember it. We watched the preview. I don't remember it at all.
You've seen Predator and The Predator. Now...
But anyways, apparently there's callbacks, but it doesn't rip it off. Like, it doesn't copy it. It gives us an original story still, while still paying tribute to the other movies.
Nah, I'm going to argue that a little bit. I'm going to argue that a little bit, but... It even has a comic book character from one of the Predator comic books.
Oh, okay.
In this. Yeah. Interesting the way that they've kind of tied all of the previous Predator stuff into this prequel movie. Anyway, so she sees the Predator. She calls it the Thunderbird. She believes it's a Thunderbird. And she takes this as kind of a sign to prove herself as a warrior. So after that all goes on, Tabe is going hunting with his warriors for a mountain lion that wounded a hunter, and he agrees to let Naru come with him. They get the
wounded
hunter. But
just for being a healer.
Right, yeah, which comes into play later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
She uses this flower.
Isn't it like a tsetse flower or something like that?
Yeah, and it lowers the body temperature, which is going to be kind of how she figures out later. She'll figure out with that the predator sees heat,
mm-hmm.
or at least on its helmet. It tracks via heat. So after they find the wounded hunter and they get ready to leave, Naru stays behind to hunt the mountain lion, and she manages to find it, and she manages to get up into a tree where she's going to try and tire it out, but she falls and she gets hit on the head and she gets knocked out.
Yeah, so she has a plan with her brother. Like, she hatches the plan to put a trail out there. So Tabe's out doing the blood trail and she's up in the tree with one other person. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the other character's name.
Yeah, inconsequential character.
Doesn't matter.
Number three, really.
Red shirt number three.
Red shirt number three.
So the plan looks like it's going to work. It's her plan to trap this thing.
It does work. It gets revealed later that Tabe used that plan to kill the mountain lion. Well, that comes later in the movie, but that's what happened.
And I think it would have worked here, too, except for she got distracted by the stuff in the sky.
Right.
There was another ship in the sky
lightning.
Or something.
She calls it she says she saw lightning in the sky. Or lightning in the trees, she says later.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. But she wakes up in the village, and it turns out that Tabe brought her back and then went back out, killed the mountain lion. He brings the mountain lion back. Or at least he brings both the mountain lion and the head of the mountain lion back, but they're in two separate pieces.
Were they?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was holding the head and he had the body over his shoulders.
Okay. Yeah. I just thought he was carrying it, but...
Oh, he was carrying two parts of it, but he was carrying it. So he gets promoted to war chief, but then Naru thinks that there's a bigger threat out there than the mountain lion. She talks to Tabe and he's not convinced. He kind of puts her down a little bit, says, you know, we didn't do this. I did this. Which I thought was interesting, because later he's going to confess that, well, we did kind of do this.
I think he's trying to get her to stop trying to go out there.
I think this has to do with gender stereotypes. Not gender stereotypes, but gender roles. Traditional gender roles in, say, like the Comanche Nation. And, I mean, obviously she's not conforming to those gender norms, which is interesting. She goes out and she is hunting for this greater threat. She doesn't yet know what it is, but she's out there hunting for it. She comes across a herd of skinned bison. And at first I was like, good God, why would the predator do that? The predator doesn't do that. First of all, bison aren't going to be something to hunt. They're not threatening. Mm-hmm. They're not a fight, you know?
Yeah.
And why would it skin them? It doesn't really skin things.
Except for it skinned the snake.
It skinned the snake, and I think that was just misdirection. It doesn't usually skin things. It usually just, although it takes the spine and the head, the spine and the skull, for its trophies.
Yeah.
So in order
Maybe the
to
skin just came off with the snake.
Who I mean, knows? In order to
Well, how was the thing flopping around though then?
I don't know.
I'm not sure on that one. I kind of suspected some other people. We find out later it's the French people, but I suspected some because of the trap that the dog ended up with on the tail, which is definitely not a predator trap, and that's not a Comanche trap.
Right.
So I suspected that something else was going to be a threat here at some point, too.
Right, yeah. That trap actually comes back into play. Again, this is another thing that, like...
Comes back a couple times.
It does. It comes back a couple times. It actually is integral to, like, the end of the... the story, really, if you think about it. Because, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that part. So, after she finds the bison, she's tracking through the woods and she ends up in quicksand. It's quicksand, right? That's what it is?
Yeah, kind of.
It's kind of a Scooby-Doo
like,
threat.
Very
here.
Muddy, swampy crap.
I was expecting rodents of unusual size. We didn't get them. A little disappointed. It could have been a prequel on both movies, but it didn't. Or to both movies, but it wasn't. Oh, well. So after she manages to get out because she's attached a rope to her hatchet. Mm-hmm. And she uses it as like a grappling hook and pulls herself out of the quicksand, which, there you go, guys. If you've ever been worried that quicksand was going to be an issue for you, you can simply carry a hatchet with a rope attached to it. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get into quicksand, you can grapple your way out of it, I guess.
So at this point, because she's covered in mud, I thought they were going to go with... She's going to figure out to cover herself in mud and get away from the predator or trap him somehow. That's what I was worried about at this point. But it was interesting to see this. I was worried what they were going to do. They didn't do that, thankfully. They did their own thing. But I was kind of waiting for him to go there, you know?
I would say that's too close to the original film for this movie. But yeah, I wasn't even thinking of that because she hadn't encountered the predator yet. I felt like if that was going to come in, it would have had to have been introduced later.
Sure.
Because that's how Arnold figured it out. in the original.
Right, right. I just, so. You know, knowing that the Predator sees the heat signatures or whatever, I was thinking that might be where they're going with
I'm
it.
Guessing that that's what that bog was there for. It was for the people, the seasoned Predator vets that have seen the other movies, or at least the first movie. They know that the Predator can see in heat, and, well, if she's covered, then
yeah,
it's not going to see her. But that's not the case.
But we do find out she is resourceful, and she gets herself out of this mess.
Yep. She goes to a river to clean up, and she encounters a bear. She runs off, and she's hiding above the area where the bear was. It doesn't attack her right off the bat. It's just wandering around being a bear.
It's eating something.
It's eating, yeah. You know, being a bear. It's doing bear shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she takes a pot shot at the grizzly bear. I don't know why.
Well,
she takes a pot shot at the grizzly bear.
The wind comes from behind her, and the bear can smell her. So the bear
turns. Yeah, but it can't get to her.
Yeah, it can. It got to her. It so it turns and starts.
It suspects where she is, but it is not coming for her until she shoots at it.
Maybe.
It doesn't come for her until she shoots at it. It's just sniffing the air like, I wonder if that's something that's worth going after.
Yeah.
So maybe she panicked and was like, oh, hell no, you know, and took a shot at it. And that's what really instigated the whole thing.
And at this point, maybe she was still thinking that bear could possibly be...
The greater threat.
The greater threat.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Because, like you said, she hadn't seen the Predator yet. She hadn't seen it attack anything.
Yeah,
so
what reason
maybe,
does she... Yeah.
Maybe at that point she's thinking, this is gonna be me taking this thing down.
Right, right. Okay, that's a really good point. And because what reason does she have to think that there's some otherworldly creature on the planet with them? Yeah, that's a really good point, and I did not put two and two together. That's right on, man. That's good. I like that. So the Predator ambushes them while the grizzly bear is attacking. She ends up in...
Like a beaver dam or something.
Is it a beaver dam?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
I was wondering what the hell that was. But she ends up in a beaver dam, and the Predator kills the grizzly bear.
Very easily.
By punching it? I'm pretty sure it punched it and broke its neck.
Yeah.
It I heard looked... a distinct crack.
Yeah.
So it broke its neck by punching it. And then it sees Naru in the beaver dam, but it doesn't come for her because it's like, oh, she's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
She's not prey. She's... just another, you know,
denizen. She's not a predator.
Not a predator. She's not a worthy opponent.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the theme of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That nobody considers her a threat. Nobody considers her as, you know, a viable nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
And they all underestimate her. Everybody in this movie underestimates her.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. When she is running away from the Predator... Or the encounter with the Predator, I guess. She runs into a group of Comanche that are sent to find her. The Predator then ambushes them, kills them all, and Naru gets caught in the...
trap.
In another one of those traps. This is the second time we're going to see that trap. Mm-hmm. This is the foot trap.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call those things? What are those things? Like a bear trap, right?
Yeah, something like
that. But it doesn't
that.
Have teeth. It's just this one's just got... It's like a foothold, right? It just holds your foot.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. So it looks like it does do some damage, but it doesn't, like, sever things.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Good point. Yeah, I don't know what that's called. I wish I knew what that was called.
Now, the interesting thing, too, is we watched this twice. And both times, I, at this point, was like, why is the Predator not going after the men with guns at her? But we see later that I picked up on the second watching is... The Predator doesn't recognize their guns.
Doesn't recognize their guns?
Yeah, like, you know when he's doing his little heat sensor thing?
Oh, sure.
So I think with the guns, it wasn't picking that up. With the Comanche, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like when he was looking at the Comanche, it was picking up the weapons because it was like zeroing in and seeing the arrows and stuff.
Interesting.
And then when he sees the guns, it was still kind of like the blue color.
Huh.
I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what was happening there. Because otherwise, I feel like the Predator should have pounced on those guys.
Interesting. I don't think I picked up on that.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to swear to it because I'm not 100% convinced that's what I saw, but that's what my gut was reading, I guess. I don't know.
Why are you letting your gut read movies? Use your eyes. They work better for viewing film.
All right. Good lesson to learn.
Everybody, if you're going to watch a movie, don't do it with your stomach and do it with your eyes. But the Predator leaves her alone once it realizes that she's in that trap.
Yeah.
And it just takes off, right?
Yeah.
And the French, I guess they're French-Canadian trappers. They're there. They're the ones that were skinning the bison, and Naru, you know, figures that out. They find her. They put her in a cage. And they have a translator whose name is Raphael Adolini. And Adolini is a character from a Predator comic book.
Okay.
A short story in a Predator comic book. And in fact, his gun is given to Danny Glover's character in Predator 2 by an elder Predator. He hands them a gun. The gun that has that his name is on there. This movie is littered with stuff like this. I love it. I love that. It's fantastic. Anyway, he questions Naru about the Predator. And he seems like he knows what the hell that is, which actually calls back to the comic, which took place a year before.
Uh-huh.
It takes place. I think it's called Predator 1718, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'll have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it is. So he's encountered them before, and he's talking to her about them because now she's the only other person that he knows that.
What did he say to her?
I don't even remember how that conversation went. But she won't talk. He's just asking her.
Okay.
Yeah. So she won't talk. And we find out that the French trappers have Tabe as well. And they torture him. And then they use Tabe and Naru as bait to bring in the Predator. But they were tied to a tree. This is where Tabe says, you know, I used your technique to kill the mountain lion. So technically we did do it. I don't know why he didn't give her credit. Probably because she's a woman. Comanche Nation. They had specific roles. And then that's that. The Predator shows up and he kills just about all the Frenchmen. Tabe and Naru escape, and Naru actually comes up with the way to escape. They're tied, but she uses one of the traps. Now, this is one of the traps with teeth.
Yeah.
And she's telling a story. Is it a rabbit?
I don't remember.
I think she's telling a story about a rabbit and how the rabbit would gnaw through its paw to get out of the trap. And meanwhile, she's putting their hands over one of the traps with a rock in her hand to set the trap off. And Tabe is like freaking out, and she's like, and then it cuts the rope, and she goes, "I'm smarter than the rabbit."
Yeah,
which I thought was funny. I enjoyed that both times I watched it. So once they're free, Tabe goes to get horses, and Naru goes back for the dog. And while she's doing that, she kind of comes across Adelini, who is dying, and he teaches her how to use his pistol, his flintlock pistol, in exchange for medical treatment for his leg. His leg got cut off during the attack, the Predator attack. Naru gives him the herbs that she gave to the guy earlier, which reduced the body heat to stop the bleeding. So when the Predator arrives, Adelini pretends to be dead, and it doesn't see him because he's not moving and he's not radiating heat. And this is where Naru has her Arnold Schwarzenegger moment, and she's like, it can't see him because he's not hot, he's cold.
Okay, I'm going to say the same thing here that I said in the Predator movie. That is an awfully big leap to make.
It is. It is.
But I mean, good for you, but it's a pretty big leap. I don't know how you make that conclusion off of that.
It is. It is. But we have to give her that.
Yes.
We have to give the story that. Otherwise, this does not work at all.
It doesn't.
Right.
I'm just saying. It's a big leap.
But as soon as she figures out that he can't see him, it steps on his leg, kind of accidentally steps on his leg, and he screams, and it's like, oh, he's still alive, so he kills him.
Yeah.
But then Tabe arrives with the horse. They weaken the predator by teaming up against it, so they have, like, a big team-up.
Now, this part, I thought, was pretty darn cool. So watching Tabe fight, you know, off the horse, you know, he's kind of doing a little bit of, you know, flipping around action with throwing spears and and I thought this was fun to watch. This was a fun little battle to watch with Tabe and the Predator for the most part, and then Naru came in kind of towards the end.
Yeah, between the two of them, they managed to distract it enough that the other can get the upper hand at varying times. I thought it was filmed really, really well. I really enjoyed the feeling that you got that they almost have the upper hand. And you start to think, oh, wow, this is how they're going to get him. But then it kills Tabe.
Now, Tabe yells something when the Predator disappears here. He goes invisible.
Yeah.
And
it's not translated for us at
all. It's not translated, but in my research, I found that it's roughly translated to "you coward."
So he calls him a chicken. He calls it a chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Well, because if he didn't do that, he was probably going to lose. So, yeah, he was cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I mean, let's be honest. The Predator is cheating. I mean, he always cheats. If this thing really wants to, like, fight the best of the best and conquer the best of the best, why is it hiding? Why is it in shadow all the time?
Yeah, why are you invisible?
Yeah, why are you invisible? They're kind of chickens.
Yeah, you get the drop on all of them.
Yeah.
Before they're even prepared for something.
I mean, we're not talking about, like, I mean, you don't even have to do the whole, like, macho chest beating thing, because that obviously that doesn't work. You have to use your cunning to get to defeat this thing. Right? All the muscle in the world couldn't save Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, right? So there's something to that, but it's interesting that they call it out. It's interesting to me that they call it out right off the bat. Not right off the bat. It's interesting that they call it out because it's true. It's really true. It does cheat. It does hide when it is losing. Not much of a predator.
It uses its
technology, not its skill. Yeah, not its skill.
It's not a learned skill. It's definitely a technology. So.
But Arnold had to use all of his technology or all of his skill, but none of his technology. Same thing with Naru. She has to use her skill and not her technology. She actually uses the Predator's technology against it, which I have a question about, but we'll get to that here in just a couple minutes. So she runs across the lead Frenchman. I think they call him Big Beard in the credits. She knocks him out. She cuts off one of his legs and leaves him bleeding while she eats that flower to reduce her body heat. And this is where she is turning him into the bait, because she leaves him a weapon. Which, I guess, you know.
Here we go back to what I was saying before. So there's the weapon there, and he's attacking him because he's now a predator. But why didn't he attack those other guys when they had guns before?
Don't know. It's one of those things you have to give the story. Like, it might have had other business elsewhere.
I guess I was trying to reason through why that was, and I think that's why I was thinking maybe it couldn't see those weapons. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to watch this a third time. Who knows?
Interesting. So she eats the herbs that hide her body heat and then baits the predator with the burly Frenchman. And then she uses... So while it's attacking him, she shoots it with Raphael's pistol, which he taught her how to shoot. It she knocks off his mask, which has the laser targeting for his, like, three-pronged, like, dart thing,
right,
whatever the hell
yep.
that is, right? And she grabs the mask and she runs off into the woods and lures him into the quicksand that she found earlier. Again, everything, every single thing that has been planted in this movie gets used. It is extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely efficient. But here's where I have a problem with this. The predator decides it's going to target Naru with the same device that it's been using for who the hell knows how long, but it doesn't have the device on its head. It knows the device is missing. How does it expect to make use of these darts without the targeting system that it uses to guide it? First of all,
I think the thought is that after being in the bog, it's frustrated, it's starting to get a little unnerved.
It makes a mistake.
It just makes a mistake. It's making just unthought out call, just going with it. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
You know, I guess I can accept that. It struck me the first time we watched it, and it struck a bad chord for me the first time we watched it. The second time I was more trying to understand just exactly how this experienced, technologically advanced creature would allow itself to be taken by its own technology in such a way. Like, I could buy her using something else of its technology to destroy it, but, like, it uses that targeting thing all the time.
Now, does it have to have the targeting thing, or can it shoot those, you know...
They don't establish that. They do so well establishing so many other things. If they had established that it can just shoot those without the targeting thing,
mm-hmm.
different story.
Sure.
But even then, it would have to disengage the targeting system to allow it to free shoot it, right? Because
sure.
it's going to go wherever the laser's pointing. How does it not know the laser's pointing at it? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I'm willing to accept that explanation, that it was frustrated, it made a decision, that was a bad decision, and it ended up getting killed. I'm willing to accept that.
I mean, he lost an arm, he was bleeding out. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, he'd been stabbed how many times at this point?
True, true.
He's probably not thinking clearly.
True, true. Are we sure it's a he?
No.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. But... So I'm gonna give it the pass on that. I'm gonna accept your rationale for that. I can deal with that. After she uses its technology against it, she beheads it, paints her face with its blood, and then takes the head and the flintlock pistol to her tribe, and she gets promoted to war chief. Which was pretty cool. But she's got that, like, she paints its blood on her face. And this is what you'll see when you first pull up Hulu, is, like, her face with predator blood all over it in, like, war paint.
I love it. It's so cool.
It is badass, yes. Absolutely 100% badass. And that's the end of the movie. And then we get credits where they do, it's actual hide painting I read.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual hide painting that depicts the events of the story, but then it also kind of extends beyond what we saw in live action.
It has a post-credit scene in
this. It's kind
thing.
Of a post-credit
yeah.
scene, yeah. In the hide, in which basically three predator ships showing up to the Comanche Nation.
So there could be more.
There's going to be more.
To be continued.
They are talking about a sequel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. They're also talking about a prequel to deal with Adelini, maybe even adapting that Predator 1716 or 1718 comic.
Okay.
Might be cool. But I don't know. They want to be like, oh, he's a pirate. I'm not that interested in that. I mean, unless there's a Predator in it. So as a Predator movie, if you're not going to have a Predator in it, I question your tactics. But do you have... notes that maybe I blew past something you want to talk about?
Just a couple things
okay.
that are in the original Predator. There's a couple lines that are spoken this movie that was in Predator. One of them is by Tabe, and he says, "If it bleeds, we can kill it."
Yes, I loved that.
Which Arnold said that in the first one.
I thought that was... Oh, no, that was Arnold in the first one. Yeah, you're right.
And Naru says, "Do it. Do it now."
Yeah. Also, there's visual imagery that brings you back to the original Predator. I mean, there's that whole scene where Arnold crawls out of the mud and he's in that root structure of that tree that's kind of in that like landslide area by the by the river's edge. And he's kind of holding himself up by his arms and he's covered in mud, right? Mm-hmm. And we get that with Naru as well. She does the exact same thing, but it's kind of the beaver's dam that kind of gives you that tree root image of her up against it. While the Predator is looking
Yeah, that
on.
Was at the mud bog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The tree.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. The mud bog. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was pretty damn cool too. I noticed that there are actually a lot more horror elements in this movie than there were in the original movie even. Remember we were talking about Predator? You asked me if it was a horror movie or a sci-fi movie, and I said it was probably more sci-fi horror action.
Yeah.
This I would call more horror sci-fi. Like, there's definitely some dark jump moments with the mountain lion, with there's a lot of gore.
I was gonna say, there's a lot of grotesque stuff happening with animals.
That too, yeah, And in fact, that, I wanted to talk about that as well, because there's a whole lot of predator/prey imagery in this movie. Everything is preying on something. There's the wolf that goes after the rabbit. There's the snake that goes after the mouse and then goes after the predator. I mean, everything is about predator and prey in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I really liked the visual allegory for the story within the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Again, it's a really efficient script, too. Everything, just about everything that gets introduced is used. Like, which is interesting because when you think about it, the Comanche, they waste nothing. So if they waste nothing. So if they kill a bison, they use everything from that bison. They don't waste anything. They waste nothing in this movie. Interesting. I like that. I like that a lot.
That is cool. Yep.
Yeah. What do you have?
I got just a couple other things. Yeah. This movie was released in English. Now, they did have some talk of doing a Hunt for Red October where it starts, does it start in Russian and then goes to English?
Oh, yeah, where they zoom in on his mouth and then zoom back out.
They talked about doing something similar, having this in the Comanche language, switching over to English, but they couldn't figure out how to make that work and not seem goofy or anything. So they did this in English, but they did do a Comanche dubbed version too. So the dialogue is all in Comanche. I think that's on Hulu in the special features.
There is. Well, interesting. I think I also heard, and maybe you can confirm this for me, but there's in the English language version, there's a Comanche subtitle track.
There is. Yep.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. So lots of different ways to watch this, which could be cool.
Yeah. Now, remember you said that this... are you done? Do you have anything else?
I do have one other thing, but you can go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because I'm going to take it in a different direction, so you
okay.
go ahead.
Okay. The last thing I just wanted to point out was this movie debuted number one on Hulu. It is the biggest movie premiere in the streaming service history. So this was Hulu's biggest movie.
I mean, this is a movie that should have been in theaters.
It should have. I don't know why this wasn't in theater.
I don't have any reason. I can't think of any reason why they wouldn't have put it in theaters.
I would have paid money to go see this at the theater.
I would still pay money to go see this movie in theaters, which I guess I'm tipping my hand a little there, but... Yeah, that's interesting. Cool. Well, I mean, do you have anything else that you want to add before we head to our sudden but inevitable conclusion?
Yes. One other thing I just thought of.
Yeah.
The makeup in here, the costuming again for the Predator is amazing. Yeah. I love this.
Who handled
this
that?
So,
was that?
I don't know, but I was watching behind the scenes things. I saw some photos and you see the Predator in its makeup getup and holy cow, that thing. If I ran into that, you know, just walking by on the street or something, that's probably scare the crap out of me. That thing is intimidating. He's big.
Yeah.
And it's just creepy looking, but it's so cool.
He is big, but he's not quite as big as Kevin Peter Hall was.
He's 5 or 6 inches shorter.
Kevin Peter Hall was 7'2". This guy's 6'9".
Yeah.
Both basketball players.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Big guys.
Yeah. Big, tall, tall fellas.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess this is the part of the episode where we do our thing. So it's going to be keep, it's going to be rent, or it's going to be erase. Jen, tell me where you stand.
This is a keep for me. I loved this. I really liked it a lot. And I know you're probably going to not like me saying this, but I like this better than the first one even. I really liked this a lot. But now you have to remember the Predator, not the Predator, Predator, yeah. I didn't see until a year or two ago.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this. It's definitely dated at the point, like when I'm watching it now for the first time, I don't have the nostalgia that you have with it. You know, it seems like a dated movie. It seems goofy. It's just this big macho, rough guy movie. I wasn't really into that so much.
Yeah.
It's still a good movie, but I loved this one. I really like this one a lot. So for me, this is better than the first one.
Gotcha. I think you're doing the original Predator a great disservice by saying it's just this big macho movie because, again, all the muscle in the world couldn't save Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had to use their cunning and their other abilities to make that.
But it's not just about that. It's the whole guy's guy thing with the cigars and the spitting and the, I don't know.
They all
know.
Ended
it's,
up dead.
Yeah, they did. But it's still part of the movie. It's still a lot of the movie, you know, flexing the arms, you know, the whole hand clap flexing. It's like, come on.
The hand clap flex. Okay, before this turns into a dissertation on Predator, but just, I will say this. I will say this. The hand clap flexing the arm muscles, the biceps, that was basically to be like, look how strong these guys are before they go in and they wipe them all out and Arnold Schwarzenegger has to use everything but his muscles to defeat the Predator. Anyway, it was setting up the whole end of the movie. But anyway... onto this flick.
I knew you weren't going to like me saying that, but I
don't have a problem with that. I think you're misjudging the original. But I have no problem with you liking the original.
I can judge
less
the way
this.
I want, right?
No. I think you're... I'm not saying you can't have your opinion on it. I would never say that. What I'm saying is that I think you're missing the point of all that stuff in the original movie. The point was to be like, look, see, these are everything that you think is macho, but none of that matters.
Sure.
That was the point.
Sure.
But,
okay.
So, anyway, so on to this movie. I would never say that this was better than the original Predator. I still think the original Predator stands head and shoulders above all the other sequels that have come since then. However... if I were to put this in a ranking of all the Predator movies, this would be second. And it would be, by a long shot, second. There's not another movie in the Predator series that comes close to this. And I really like Predator 2, but it's a cheese fest. This is not. This is, again, a very efficient script. It is paced really, really well. It's got horror elements that I didn't see in the original. And, there's nothing that I can't say anything bad about this movie, I guess, is what I'm trying to say there.
Sure.
Decent flick. This is definitely a keep for me. This is definitely a keep for me.
Good.
No questions asked.
Hey, we're on the same page.
Weird.
We both liked it.
It's not like Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you liked Conan. Secretly, you liked Conan the Barbarian.
Ugh.
All right, before we get into that one again, what are we doing next?
All right, next week we're going to do the 20th anniversary movie of Signs.
Signs. This is the beginning of the end for M. Night Shyamalan for me. Although...
isn't this one of his first movies?
It's one of his first three movies, yeah.
The beginning of the end.
Yeah. Yep.
Started off strong and fell off the cliff after that.
To be fair, in my book, he started off marginally strong. I mean, two movies after this, he makes The Happening. So guess what? Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I have a dislike-hate relationship with M. Night Shyamalan movies. It's not a love-hate, it's a dislike-hate relationship. That's not fair. Everything beyond Signs, I think, I have a dislike-hate relationship with M. Night Shyamalan.
Now, I liked his movie Split.
Oh, you know what? To be fair,
Split was really good.
He does come back eventually with a couple of movies, but then he did that movie on the beach. I don't remember what the hell it was called.
Wasn't it Old Age or something? Old.
It was just called Old. Yeah, Paul and I did that one on the show when you were tied up with tax season. And man, that movie was bad.
I didn't watch it. After hearing how bad it was, I was like, no, I'm not going to watch it.
I mean, I'm all for something that you have to switch your brain off, but you can't switch your brain off and then expect people to, like, think, like, okay, look, I won't even get into it. If you want to hear what I think of that one, go back and listen to our old episode. It is, not to be missed. It's a corker. But we'll talk about Signs, which I think, again, the last of his good movies before his renaissance. The last of his good movies between that movie and The Visit, he did nothing but garbage. So we'll talk about it. I haven't seen it in a few years, so maybe my opinion's changed on it. We'll see. Who knows?
Could be.
And you know, it's always when you sit down and you talk about a movie to review it versus when you just sit down to watch a movie and experience it. It's a different thing.
It's a different beast. You have to look at it from a different angle. You have to talk about it. And sometimes when you start talking about it, then you're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, as soon as you start picking something apart, sometimes it just falls straight apart.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Sometimes I feel like this podcast has ruined movies for me.
It's supposed to be enriching movies for you, make you like get more of a level of like, you know, nourishment.
But you have
from
to remember, for me, going into movies previous to doing this, I just watched them on the surface, moved on. Didn't have to think about it.
It's just pure escapism for some people. And
right,
I get that.
Right. So for now, I have to like think about it and like do this. I love doing this. I don't want to say anything.
This was partially your idea.
Yeah,
so.
I don't want to say anything like I don't like doing this because I love doing this. But it does, some movies that I feel like I probably would have liked before, now I'm like, meh, that's not really that good.
Maybe like Conan the Barbarian or something? Or
no, that I would not ever like. Like never, ever, ever like. Whether it was before or after, no.
So,
if you ever want to torture me, you just put that on the TV and that'll be enough.
We're going to have to do a follow-up on Conan the Destroyer at some point. But that is not on the docket for next week. Next week, we're going to see Signs right here on the couch. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to A View from the Couch. We value your feedback. Please consider leaving us a review on Podbean, iTunes, or your preferred podcast listening app.
You can reach us on Facebook by searching at A View from the Couch, on Twitter at View_Couch, or by emailing us at aviewfromthecouch@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
See ya.